Now we need to turn with me again, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And with God's Word open before us, let's seek the Lord's help and prayer. Father, we thank you for this Word that we've read together, for thy precious truth that has been placed in our hands. Lord, may we be those likened on to that blessed man of Psalm 1, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. May thy word be ever before us. May it be in our minds, may it be written upon our hearts, may we hold it in our hands while we read it. And as we come now to consider the great truth before us, Lord, speak to us, we pray. Instruct us in the things of God. And we ask our Father that above all other things, we might meet with thee today and die with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to speak on Joseph. We're told in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. And as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. We know that when God moved in time and sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, that God chose a perfect vessel when he chose the virgin named Mary. Of course, since the birth of our Savior was to be by way of a virgin birth, there would be no need for a human male to father the child. However, because the Lord Jesus was coming into this world as a helpless infant, and since God was sending him into this world to live in poverty and not in splendor, there would be need for someone to provide for him, to provide for the needs of the child. Therefore, God chose this man, Joseph, to be, I suppose, a caretaker for his heavenly son, a foster parent, an adoptive father, if you like. And it would appear from our text that Joseph was no ordinary man. It's easy to see that he was a man of compassion and integrity and decency and love. And he is a man whom God honored because he was one who honored God in his life. He was one who was totally committed to doing the will of God. A humble man who is more concerned about what God wanted out of his life than what he wanted himself. And as we read this passage together, I feel there are certain characteristics that mark out Joseph as being a very special man indeed. Indeed, I suggest that he's the kind of man that we ought to aspire to be, the men amongst us. I'm almost certain, well, I know for a fact that the Lord will not call us to go through the same things that Joseph went through. But I am sure that God wants to use our life for his glory, just as he used the life of Joseph. So there are certain thoughts that I want to leave with you concerning this man that God has chosen to take care of his son. I want you to think firstly about the tragedy that marred his life. There in verses 18 and 19, we are told that his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. This hand-picked man has been personally chosen and prepared by God for a very special mission. Now that doesn't mean his life will be without trials or without tragedies. In fact, the opposite is true. Joseph will have to face and weather and overcome trials that would have derailed many other people. And a quick look at his life tells us how he reacted to those troubles and trials that came to his life. Verse 18 tells us of a shocking discovery. He's betrothed to a young woman by the name of Mary. The betrothal period, to all intents and purposes, was just like a marriage, except for the fact that the couple did not live together, neither did they engage in any physical relations. Both parties were expected to keep themselves pure until they came together physically as husband and wife. We might look upon it as an engagement of sort, but it was more than that. It was legally binding. Today, if you get engaged to someone and you change your mind before the wedding day comes, there may be a lot of tears, but there's not any other repercussions that follow. You needed to get a bill of divorce in these days to sever the betrothal. It was a marriage in all but name. Joseph is betrothed to Mary. They have not yet come together as husband and wife. This period could last for several months or perhaps longer. And it's during this period of waiting that Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant. She was found with child. No doubt she shares her side of the story when she tells Joseph the news that not only is she found with child, but she's found with child of the Holy Ghost. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Joseph is a grown man. He knows where babies come from. And this is a most shocking discovery. Perhaps rumors were already circulating that Mary was pregnant and Joseph's not the father. What a shocking discovery. And as this news comes to them, that Mary is found with child, and by her account of the Holy Ghost, we find that that shocking discovery leads to shattered dreams. Here's a man who's been looking forward to the day when he and his betrothed will come together as husband and wife and share their lives from this time forth. He's probably been preparing the home in which they would live, busy putting together all the things that they would need as they set up home and start their life together. His days are filled with work, and his nights are filled with dreams about the future that is there for Mary and himself. He's thinking ahead, perhaps, of the children that they'll someday have together. And this news comes like a cruel slap to his face. This is news that shattered all of his hopes and dreams. Mary is pregnant, and Joseph is not the father. I'm sure it must have felt like his heart was ripped from his chest. It must have hurt as every dream came crashing down around him. All of his plans, his hopes, his dreams fell from his grasp like grains of sand and shattered at his feet. What's a man to do? Now he's faced with a dilemma. It says in verse 19 that he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He's one who kept the divine laws of God, and he knows what the law says. The law is clear. There in Deuteronomy 22, verses 20 and 21 and 22, the law is clear. This woman found guilty of adultery is to be stoned to death. the scriptures give another option. There in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1, it speaks of a bill of divorce. He can get legal authority to cancel the betrothal and send her away. And as he thinks on these things, as he considers, he doesn't want to see her stoned. He doesn't want to embarrass her any more than what she probably already is. So to his mind, the best course of action is to deal with the matter privately, get a bill of divorcement, and then go their various separate ways. And no doubt as he ponders upon these things, it says, verse 20, that he thought on these things. He's turning them over, he's considering them, he's looking at all of his options. As he ponders these things, no doubt from a broken heart, a time for a sorrowful decision to be made. I couldn't help but think that we have a portrait here, a picture of just the reality of life. We do our best to make our plans, to get all things lined up as we would like them to be. Then something happens and we see all of our hopes and plans and dreams come crashing down around us. And when these things happen, it breaks our hearts. Because it's not what we wanted, or what we expected, or what we thought it might be. It turns out to be the worst thing imaginable. And perhaps like Joseph, we are unaware and blind to the fact that actually God is working behind the scenes. Because it was God who shattered Joseph's dreams. The things that take place in life are not accidents. They are carefully planned and arranged, designed by the Lord to help us grow in grace and the knowledge of Him. And that's a hard truth for us to understand, but it's still the truth nonetheless. God works out His will in our lives in ways that we are not even able to begin to comprehend. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His plans are not our plans. The Lord would have chosen things for us that we would not choose for ourselves. Just ask Job, for instance, for the hardships that came to him. But one thing we do know, that God's plans are always the best, even when they hurt us. We know with the Apostle Paul that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We may not like it when the Lord shatters our dreams, but we know deep down as Christians that when everything is said and done, we will see that God's plan was in fact the best plan of all. That means it doesn't matter what we are facing this morning, what difficulties have come our way, what obstacles are before us, what dreams and hopes have been shattered around us. The fact of the matter is, if we're going to be used by the Lord and blessed by Him, there will be trials that we will have to face. Elijah had to hide himself by the brook Cherith before he could stand in power on Mount Carmel. David had to deal with the lion and the bears in private before he was able to face Goliath in public. It's hard for us to understand, but it's been well noted that those whom God would use greatly, He often hurts deeply. There's a reason for the trials that come. And so we see something of the tragedy that mars the life of Joseph. But with that tragedy comes an opportunity, a task that will mark out the rest of his life. Because while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, just as she said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, A virgin, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. In the middle of this great tragedy, God calls Joseph. And with his calling, he gives him a task, a duty to perform, his life's work, if you like. And Joseph, to his credit, embraces the plan of God and completes it by faith. Yes, a great tragedy has marred his life, but God gives him a task that will mark him for the rest of his days. This task involves a divine revelation. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and he informs him that the child that Mary is carrying is no ordinary baby. The child that she carries is none other than the Son of God, conceived in Mary by the Holy Ghost. And he's given certain requirements. He's not to divorce Mary. Those thoughts of divorcement are over. He's not to have her stoned. He's not to have her put away. He is to take her as his wife. Take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Take her as your wife, and embrace the child as if he were your own. How do we know that? Because he's given the duty to name the child. Thou shall call his name Jesus. He has been given the responsibility. Joseph has given the responsibility to care for and provide for this child, Jesus. He's been given a difficult task. But I'm sure, as he learns more of the duty required of him, he realizes that there's an amazing truth being played out before him. The babe that Mary carries is to be the fulfillment of the greatest promise that God has ever given to man. Here's the one that will bruise the serpent's head. You know, for thousands of years, the faithful of Israel have been waiting for the moment that God would send his Redeemer, the Messiah, into the world. Every woman of Israel lived in hope or anticipation that perhaps the child that she carried would be the one. You look back to the book of Genesis and find when Adam and Eve conceived, after they've fallen into sin, and she brings forth the firstborn, Cain. You know what she said? I have begotten a man from the Lord. Perhaps this is the one that God spoke of that would crush the serpent's head. Of course, Cain wasn't to be that one. But every faithful woman in Israel lived with the hope that perhaps the child that I carry might be the one. That's why when we read in the scriptures of those who couldn't have children, like Hannah, for instance, why it was such a torment to them, because it meant that they were not in consideration of being in the Messiah's line at all. Well, this was no ordinary child. The child who would be the Messiah of God is God himself, conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Emmanuel, God with us. All the prophets of the Old Testament looked ahead to this glorious moment in time. It was Isaiah who had prophesied that a virgin will conceive, bring forth a child named Emmanuel. One who will deliver the world from the bondage and blight of sin. And Joseph hears the message that the child to be born to Mary shall be named Jesus. Why Jesus? Because he is the one who will save his people from their sins. His name defines his mission. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And I'm sure Joseph doesn't understand everything that's happening. I'm sure he doesn't grasp all of the importance of this moment. But he knows enough and understands enough that God is entering into this world through the womb of Mary. He understands that God, who is Spirit and who fills all things, was coming into this world in the person of a helpless infant, to learn that Jehovah was coming to live in his house, to eat at his table, to learn his trade, to sit on his knee as he grows up, and then to die for the sins of God's people. Now, I'm sure Joseph didn't understand it all, but he knows enough and understands enough. God has revealed to him enough for him to realize that what he thought was his worst nightmare is going to become the world's greatest blessing. And this great burden that God has placed upon his shoulder, he will bear with joy. It's been often said that when we look at life, sometimes it's like a parade that passes us by. And all that we really see is the portion of the parade that's directly in front of us at any moment. We have a memory of what has went before. We can see what's here presently, but we don't always know what's on its way. But imagine instead of standing at street level watching the parade pass, that you ascend to one of the high-rise buildings nearby. As you climb the building, you can see the parade in its entirety, the beginning and the middle and the end, and you see it all at the same time. And that way there's no surprises. When it comes to life, all we see is what's happening before us, with the memory of what's gone before, but we have no idea what's coming around the corner next. But with God there are no surprises. He knows the end from the beginning. He has it planned all the way through. The best thing for us to do is simply to lean upon him, to trust him, to bring to the Lord our days day by day. And even then, when our dreams are shattered and our hopes are dashed in pieces before us, we simply trust the Lord, knowing that our Heavenly Father is still in control, that he will not leave us nor forsake us, that he will take care of us, his children, that he does know what is best for us. And just because the way is dark doesn't mean that we lose hope. We simply hold on to his hand and allow him to lead us through the dark and the difficult places. And even when we go through the valley of the shadow, even there we will fear no evil. For the Lord is with us, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us. We can count upon his provisions. He, the Lord, will be sufficient for us. May we walk confidently with our hand in his. Walk humbly before him by faith until he brings us to the place where he has all of our provisions set aside, one step at a time, day by day, until at last our questions are answered and our faith is secured in Christ. God has a plan. He has a task for us to carry out. It may not be easy. It may be difficult. There may be tears along the way. But we can rest assured that if we, like Joseph, will follow through with God, that what seemed to be our greatest heartache will turn to be our greatest blessing. There was tragedy that marred his life. There will be a task now that will mark his life. And then I suggest, finally, there is a testimony that measures his life. The real test of maturity is not to do with what we face in life or what we are called upon to do, but the real evidence of our character is seen in what we do with those things. We'll all face difficulties. We'll all face trials. It's what we do with them. It's one thing to be placed in a trial. It's another thing altogether to respond to that trial in a proper manner. It's one thing to be asked to do something by the Lord. It's another thing to do it without question. So when we think of this tragedy that mars his life and the task that marked it, let's look at how Joseph responds to these things, to the tragedy and to the task. We're given a glimpse into his testimony. After this revelation from the Lord that the one whom Mary carries is Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of the world, notice what it says in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife. An unconditional compliance with the revelation of God. An unconditional compliance. Many, no doubt, would have walked away from the Lord, walked away from Mary, but not Joseph. As soon as he awakes, he rises and carries out the command of the Lord. There is no doubt in his mind that God has spoken to him, and he's going to carry out that task to the very best of his ability. He rises and goes straight to business. I'm no doubt, well, there are many people of that day that talked about this young couple that were unable or unwilling to wait until they were properly married. But at this moment in time, Joseph's not concerned about what the community thought about, or what society would say, or what the rumor mongers would say. At this moment in time, the only thing that he wants to do is carry out the will of God for his life. So in spite of his questions, in spite of his fears, in spite of his concerns, Joseph sets out by faith to obey the Lord. What a testimony. What a man of character, carrying out the will of God without complaint or without question. We see something of his compliance with the will of God. We see something of his commitment to the will of God. Look at verse 25. Even when he takes Mary into his home, we're told that he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Even though they are now together as husband and wife, he refrains from physical contact with her. He's obeying the Lord and he is preserving her virginity until after her firstborn son is born. Here's a man willing to bear the shame and the reproach that's leveled at him from the community. He's also willing to place his own desires and needs and rights on the back burner until the will of God is carried out. He wants nothing more than to do the perfect will of God What a wonderful test. Willing to sacrifice his own desires and needs and rights to see that God's work is done. And we're told then at the end of verse 25 that he called his name Jesus. After the child is born, Joseph takes the next step of faith and names the child Jesus, just as he's been commanded by the angel of the Lord in his dream. You see how his trust is in the Lord. He believes what he's been told. Now, as far as we know, Joseph never faltered as he carries out the command of God in his life. Certainly we're not told of any failings. In spite of what he's been called to do, to believe the impossible, to do the incredible, he never wavers. He does all that the Lord commands him. What a wonderful test. Now you and I, as we move through life, if we are born again of God's Spirit, then we are saved unto good works, Ephesians 2:10 tells us. We discover that God has a plan to use even us for his glory. We have also learned that this plan may be very difficult for us to carry out. There may be rough places along the way, there may be bumps in the road. But genuine faith in God does not seek for an easier road. Genuine faith in God will go wherever he leads, regardless of the cost, regardless of the consequences, because we believe that that's the best way. To follow God no matter what. Carry out his will no matter what. God uses Joseph in a most remarkable fashion to be a father to the young Jesus. And I have no doubt that Joseph was involved in the life of that young boy, loving him, caring for him, schooling him, training him. God took a poor, humble carpenter and used him to carry out important heavenly business. And I believe God is still looking for people to be used in the carrying out of his will today. Now, we will not be asked to do what Mary and Joseph did. That's a task never to be repeated again. But I'm sure God has plenty of other assignments that need to be fulfilled. And he's looking for people who will follow him in spite of the difficulties. He's looking for those who are willing to take up their cross and follow him, who will do gladly the tasks that he assigns them to do. People with the right testimony that they desire to do the will of God, who are willing to go through with God right to the very end until the task and assignment is completed. Are you that person? Are you available for the Lord to use if he can call upon you with a duty to perform? Would you say with Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? I'm told some years ago, the Missionary Society New Tribes Mission, that they ran a very successful advertising campaign in churches, that is. The campaign read something like this: "Here am I, Lord, send my sister." There's a number of young women who had entered into the Missionary Society. But where were the young men? God has many tasks still to be carried out. There's work to be done for the Master, and that work will continue until the day of his appearing. Tell me, Are you available for the Master to use? Or do you look around at others and say, Lord, send that one. Or send this one, but not send me. May the Lord make us willing, dutiful servants in these days, carrying out the will of God, knowing that His will is best. A bow in prayer. Gracious Father, bless Thy word to us this morning. May we know Thy grace and favour in our life. May we be those who, like Joseph before us, are willing to set aside our own desires and our own thoughts and our own aspirations in order to carry out the will of God, knowing then when we get to the end that we will find that we have lost nothing and sacrificed nothing, but indeed that we will have gained much in having given ourselves wholly to the Lord. Bless us now, we pray, as we continue on before you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.